This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
It's important that the people you choose to be friends with make Jesus their first priority. So the people you choose as a friend, do they make Jesus their first priority? Now, let me show you what I asked. I'm headed towards marriage, but watch this same question go where marriage is concerned. The guy or the girl you're getting ready to marry, have they made Jesus their first priority? You see where we failed? The marriage failed because we didn't know about godly friendship.
Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages. With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace. The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips, no matter where you are. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Everybody that wants to be your friend may not qualify for godly friendship. And I'll teach more as we go along, but you know, you do have to understand that choose your friends carefully. Why? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I think this will say it. Let's go to the New King James Version here. New King James Version, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Because you're going to hear me say a little bit later that if you got friends that are having a negative impact, it's better for you to be by yourself. Okay, now watch this. He said, do not be deceived. So for you to be deceived is for you to ignore what he's saying here. Evil company corrupts good habits. So choose your friends carefully. Why? Because evil company corrupts good habits. Choose your friends carefully. The three or four friends you hang around will have the potential of enhancing your relationship with Jesus or corrupting your good habits. And you're talking about, well, they say, I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about there's some saved people that can corrupt your good, godly habits. And you have to choose your friends carefully or with some caution. It's like some of us are so desperate to be around somebody, and this is why that happens, because you don't have a relationship with God and His Word. And when you don't have a relationship with God and His Word, then you figure it's just good to have somebody. I don't like them that much, but at least it's somebody. That's pitiful. You're going to be much better off developing a relationship with God through His Word. So someone would ask right now at this particular point, so what's the meaning of true friendship? And I put emphasis on the word true. What's the meaning of true friendship? Well, true friends are going to be, they're going to be there when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. And you need to know these things so that you can rightly divide what is a true friendship from a toxic relationship. True friendship is going to be there when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Godly friendships are both honest and authentic with you. They're both honest and authentic. Now, let me bring a point up here that's happened in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, we have perfected phoniness in the body of Christ. We have, I call it religious phoniness. In other words, we're so afraid to be judge wrongly for our spirituality that we would rather be spiritually phony so we can be accepted and we don't even know how to be authentic. Let me put it like this. You don't know how to be real. You don't want to be authentic because you think, well, that's going to cause you to be judged. And real friendship, godly friendship is honest and authentic. I have met people, I couldn't even get a decent answer. Hey, how you feel today? But I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. I ain't asked you that. I ain't asked for no scripture. I asked you how you felt today. And the way you answer that, and you can tell the truth. Well, right now, I'm not feeling that well, but I believe that God is working on me and I'm going to be just fine. That's how you do that. I shouldn't have to guess, all right, is that real or is that religious? You know, I remember doing this. I was in London and a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a long time. I walked in the office and I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, it's been the worst year of my life. I got a divorce. I'm miserable, and I don't know if I'm going to keep going on the ministry. And I said, praise God, hallelujah. See, I didn't even hear what he said. I was so tuned in to responding religious. Hey, brother, how you doing? I thought he said, oh, I'm doing fine. Well, praise the Lord. And then I said that, well, praise the Lord. I said, wait a minute, what you say? And I felt real bad. The man just opened his heart up to me, and I responded religiously. You can't develop real friendship on the basis of phoniness. Now, some of you say, well, Brother Dawes, that's my faith. Well, that's fine. Say it. Say it then. How you doing today? Well, you know what? I'm going to speak faith. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And I'm going to agree with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. But let me know what's going on. Don't walk around like this spiritual giant when you're really a spiritual weak person. Quit hiding behind Scripture. Now, you can take that two ways. I'm not saying don't stand on Scripture. I'm not saying don't use Scripture. What I'm saying is don't use Scripture as a mask to cover up something. Use Scripture as a weapon to deal with something. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about. Now, true friends keep it real. They are not phony. They prove who they really are when you need them the most. So we're not just talking, or we're not just really looking to invest in friendships, but we're looking to invest in godly friendships. If you understand that, say amen. So now I want to give you, I probably won't finish it today, but I want to look at, I don't know, four or five I may talk about, but you know, when you talk about choosing a godly friend, what are some criteria you might want to consider when doing that? Because the same kind of criteria is going to be available when you're talking about choosing a mate. You're going to use some of these same criteria when you're talking about marry that guy. And if that guy's sitting there being critical to you throughout the whole time, and if he's sitting there telling you what you can't do the whole time, and you don't find, you didn't even have that in a friendship, then why in the world would you settle for it in a marriage? You see what I'm trying to do here? So, number one, choose friends who have a consistent relationship with Jesus and His Word. Choose friends, I'm talking about godly friendship, choose friends that have a consistent relationship with Jesus and His Word. Now go to Proverbs chapter 18 in the NIV, Proverbs 18, 24. Now, to be a good friend, it starts with a good friendship with Jesus. That's where it starts. To be a good friend, it starts with a good friendship with Jesus. It's important that the people you choose to be friends with make Jesus their first priority. So the people you choose as a friend, do they make Jesus their first priority? Now let me show you what I ask. I'm headed towards marriage. But watch this same question go where marriage is concerned. The guy or the girl you're getting ready to marry, have they made Jesus their first priority? You see where we failed? The marriage failed because we didn't know about godly friendship. And you choose a friend who has made Jesus their priority. So the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 18 and verse 24 in the NIV, here's what he says. He says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to the ruin. Wow. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One who has unreliable friends. Are your friends unreliable? Do you have friends that are unreliable? I'm going to tell you something right now. I got two friends named Ken. Okay, the Ken twins. I got two friends named Ken. And you're talking about reliable? It ain't been reliable for 2 days. It's been reliable for 35 years? 35 out of 40 years? And you have to understand something. I'm not ruined because I have reliable friends. I try to run away when, I mean, I could tell stories. I don't want to get into it because I'd be up all day telling these stories. But I got many stories of reliable friendships. Well, the Lord told me to be your best friend, one guy told me. I said, I was in Paris, remember that? God told me to be your best friend. I looked at him like, man, I just met you. I don't even know if you're reliable enough to get me back to the airport so I can go home. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? This is so, so very important. You should be able to share your pains and wounds with your friends and know that they won't turn against you like an enemy. Do you have friends that you can share your pains and wounds with and they won't turn against you like an enemy? Do you have tons of friends, but not one or any that you can really open up to and talk about life? Too scared to open up to and talk about life. We talk about life all the time. We talk about a bunch of stuff. And some Christians would not be able to handle our talks because it's too real. And sometimes when I preach, I get too honest. I have to be careful not to be too honest. And you don't have that kind of friendship, you don't know what this kind of friendship is and what you're missing out on. You should be able to confide in your friends and trust that they support you no matter your circumstances. No matter how, you might do crazy stuff, but you got somebody that's gonna trust you. You got somebody that's gonna confide in you. You got somebody that's gonna support you no matter your circumstances. Do you have that kind of friend? Or do you have an associate in the outer court? Do you have an outer court relationship? Do you have an inner court relationship? Or do you have a holy holy relationship? And stuff, friendships or relationships in the outer court are gonna be different from relationships in the inner court. They're gonna be different in a relationship in the holiest of holies. It is your fault when you let somebody in the outer court know and see something that was only for people in the holiest of holies. And so don't get disappointed when they can't handle it. You should have known what stage of friendship that person was in. The Bible also tells us, again in John 15, 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to lay down your life as Jesus did for the people you call friends? Your friendships should make you, your heart glad. Your friendship should make you glad. You light up when your friends are around. Do you have friends that when they're around, you don't say, praise the Lord, you're like, oh, Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? Let me show you something here. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And I want to show you something. And this is so important because we have a friend in Jesus. And that's, again, that's the primary relationship. But so many people have not made that clear that everything Jesus ever did for us, he did it because he desires an intimate friendship with us. Luke chapter 11, most people are familiar with this when it comes to prayer. Let's look at verse 5. He says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? So he's talking about here, again, some things you should look at as a friend. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. What a friend. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. In other words, he's like, man, don't you know what time it is? We sleep. Everybody sleep, and I ain't getting up and helping you do nothing. Verse 8, I say unto you, Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, he said, yet because of his importunity. Now, what is importunity? Importunity is when you beg someone to do something. Importunity is because of your begging. He won't do it as a friend. You got to beg. If you got a friend, you got to beg. That ain't a friend. All right, look what Jesus says. He said, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. But he had to beg him to do it. He had to beg him to do it. And I say unto you, and here's what I love about this. Jesus was saying, look at what kind of friend this guy was. The friend had to beg him to get up and do it. And then he goes to the next verse and he says, I'm not like that friend. And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. He that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And you know what Jesus was saying? He says, here's the kind of friend I am. Ask me, I'm going to do it. Seek me, you're going to find. Knock. See, the door was locked. He said, knock, and the door shall be open. And you know what religion has said? You got to beg him and beg him and beg him and beg him. That's importunity. And Jesus is saying, I am not that kind of friend where you got to beg me. My God. You have a friend in Jesus that you don't have to beg. You don't have to beg him to feed you. You don't have to beg him to help you. You ain't got to beg Jesus for nothing. He says, I'm your friend. Ask. Oh, my God, that just blessed. And then he goes on and he puts more to this. He says, you know, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We have this mindset that we have to beg God for everything because we haven't realized that he is our friend. He's our friend. Something happens when you rearrange your thinking to focus. He's my friend. He's my friend. Lord, could you help me? Yeah, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. Oh, God, could you heal me? Yeah, I'm your friend. See, when you walk in fear and doubt, one of the reasons is you question your relationship with Jesus. You're condemned because you felt like what you did, you know, affected the friendship, and you feel like, you know, he don't love you no more. But he is forever committed to being our friend. And you know what helps me? That when I get down to the next relationship, in marriage, whatever comes, I've got a third party in my marriage. His name is Jesus. Now, let's move on here a little bit. I got a few minutes. See, that's why this got to be a series, because I'm like, we ain't got time to, you know, we got a lot of stuff we got to cover here in this thing. Here's the second way you should choose. Choose a friend that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Someone that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Are your friends helping you to grow in your relationship with Christ? If they aren't, you need to make sure you are strong enough to be a witness instead of continuing to not grow with Jesus. Because it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you set boundaries in these type of friendships so that you are not separated from Jesus. You may have to even give up the relationship, or you might even have to give up the relationships so that you can keep Jesus as your priority. I know sometimes people have a hard time with that. Like, well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, they hurt my life. don't want to hurt their feelings. It's like, well, dude, I can't hang if that's going to keep happening like that. I can't do that. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 in the NIV. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 in the NIV. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures on this one because I think this is pretty important. People you choose to be your friends, they're going to help you grow. Look at this. He says, verse 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Verse 10, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Wow, see that? If either falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That's a powerful thing to do in the body of Christ. The body of Christ should be friends that will help somebody up. It's so crazy when people fall, people rejoice in the failure of other people. And most of those people are Christians. How does a Christian rejoice in the failure? How do they rejoice, gossip, and feel good about the failure of another Christian? What's up with that? We got some work to do. We got some work. It's not just the church coming back to the building. We got some work to do. We got some stuff we need to really, really think about. We got a mindset that we need to check. You ought to at least have somebody that's a friend that's willing to help you up when you fall. And not tell everybody. You fell in some serious stuff. And you're like, I trust you. Here's what happened. And don't have to go to bed wondering how many people they gonna tell. Go to Proverbs 27:17 in NIV. Proverbs 27:17 in NIV. Mighty quiet in the kitchen. Mighty quiet on that walk in the park. You were shouting a few minutes ago. Now you didn't stop running. You done sat down by the bench. Mighty quiet. Look at this, verse 17. Here's the kind of friend you want. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's what you want. You want somebody, after you leave them, you got something. You sharpen them. Again, the Ken twins, man, we walk away with so much revelation. We done laughed and had a good time, and somebody done said something, it's like, whoa, that's good. Those are sermons. Some stuff I came out not, some of the stuff I said today came out of a conversation we just had. Are you being sharpened? Because when you get married, that's the same kind of thing. I don't want to marry some woman that's not going to sharpen me. I don't want some woman who was raised to be a slave of mine and don't bring nothing to the table. I don't want no little weak, passive woman who calls it submission because she don't know that Jesus has come to add equality to the thing so she can actually bring her wisdom to the table. Doggone it, Adam needed an Eve so he could just get to the right tree. He was all over the garden. He's like, God, no. Eat of that tree. You ain't got no business over here when it was in the first place. I couldn't do that. I can't have no little woman. I'm coming in the house. Yes, my Lord. What would you like? Girl, get out of my face. I like a woman every time I come in the house. Hey, baby, what we got to eat? What your hands cook? That motivate me a little bit. I said, oh, I got to do a little something here. Boy, when you're doing it right, baby, I'm hungry. You want something to eat? It'll work like it's supposed to work. When I'm getting ahead of myself. But when that man knows how to do what he's supposed to do, and that iron sharpens iron, marriage should be a consistent relationship of sharpening. And what are you sharpening for? Because the more you sharpen in a marriage, the better you fit. And there needs to be some things that need to be sharpened off on both sides so that the fitting takes place better.
Do you want relationships that won't crumble and can get through the difficult times in life?
In volume one of his life-altering series, Grace-Based Relationships, Creflo Dollar takes you on a journey to discover the key relationships that matter most, the foundation for successful relationships, and how to see God's favor on your relationships.
Choose your friends carefully. Choose a friend that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. To be a good friend, it starts with a good friendship with Jesus. It's important that the people you choose to be friends with make Jesus their first priority. The three or four friends you hang around will have the potential of enhancing your relationship with Jesus or corrupting your good habits.
All four insightful messages of Grace-Based Relationships Volume 1 can change your life today for a love gift of only $25 or more, plus shipping and handling. Go to CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore or call the number on your screen to grab yours today.
Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app brings you live church services direct to your smart TV and much more. You'll also get access to Changing Your World Network, streaming Grace messages and exclusive content 24 hours a day right in the app. Get unlimited streaming through Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV absolutely free. Visit your app store. Download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now to start streaming. For more information, visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Know that your contributions do not go unnoticed. Understand also that when you sow financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, you actually assist us in ministering to the physical and spiritual needs of millions around the world. You help us build schools, drip irrigation systems, and homes for pastors. You also help us provide supplies for children and the elderly. We thank you, and we continue to pray for you daily.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
When you give, your gift goes to work, changing lives all over the world, spreading the gospel, uplifting communities, connecting believers from all over the world. Now more than ever, it's easy to support the ministry with your giving through Change Express. With Change Express, your giving is simple. It's as easy as clicking recurring once and you're set. Secure. With our advanced security protocols, you'll have peace of mind as you give, knowing that your seed is going where it belongs, changing the lives of people all around the globe. And scheduled, your donation happens at the same time, every time, without you having to lift a finger again. Simply put, it's giving you can't forget. The process of giving has never been easier for those on the go, so get started today. Go to www.creflodollarministries.org/Change Express now to sign up for Change Express. Easy, automatic giving.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.